So as Pastor Stephen said, we are going to continue with our series, Answering Your Questions. And we've had Pastor Unami last Sunday answering questions about prayer. Before that, we had Andrew Baker answering some questions as well. And for me, this series has been a reset for me. I found myself asking some questions out of the questions that were asked. I don't know whether that makes sense to you. And, you know, I just had to go back to the basics and really look at my foundation and sort of like had an audit of my own life, yeah? Where I'm at with certain things with the Lord. And I like what Pastor Stephen says. He says, what we share here as we answer the questions that you have asked. It was here in Kwinana and Fremantle. This is not the answer. It's a answer. And my hope and prayer is that this will just get you to reading, studying, and meditating on the word of the Lord, and that you just get to know that Jesus is the answer. So, first question. The first question is from, I believe it should be up there. Yes, there we go. So this is the first question. Matthew 7, 22 to 23 says, there will be many who did mighty works in his name, but will be told, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. How does that work? Why can they do that? So let's just read Matthew 7, 21 to 23. And this is what it says. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. So Matthew 7, the entire chapter, if you just go through it, it just teaches us about true discipleship not being an outward performance, but rather an inward transformation and obedience that is rooted in a real relationship with the Lord Jesus. And in this specific passage, 21 to 23, Jesus is speaking to people who claim to follow him and even perform miracles in his name. Yet, he rejects them. Why? Why does he reject them? Because they lived a life that was marked by lawlessness. So then, what is lawlessness? And I looked up this word, and it originates from the Greek word anomia, which means without law or against law. So it's a lifestyle that disregards God's authority, and it chooses self-will over God's will. So it's basically you confess that, you know, I'm a follower of Jesus, I'm a believer of Jesus, but you're rejecting God's authority. You're rejecting his rules at the same time. What a conflict. It's also an outward religion without inward obedience. So very spiritual, you know, performing a lot of good deeds and good works, but no genuine submission to our Lord Christ Jesus. So why were they surprised that Jesus rejected them? I mean, if I think about it, you're out in church, you're serving, you're spending your time, energy, probably even resources, you're casting out demons. That means you're actively, you know, praying for people, engaged. Yet Jesus says, depart from me. I do not know you. It's shocking. It's surprising. So why were they surprised? Matthew 7, 21, 23, this passage of the Bible reveals such a sobering truth for us all. These people were shocked because they thought spiritual activity equaled spiritual intimacy. So we're talking about spiritual activity and spiritual intimacy. Jesus wants spiritual intimacy from us and not just spiritual activity. I ask the questions then. Are spiritual gifts proof of salvation? Are spiritual gifts proof of salvation? No. We believe in the gifts of the Spirit, prophecy, preaching, speaking in tongues, you know, and Paul outlines all the gifts in 1 Corinthians 12, 8 to 10. We believe in the gifts of the Spirit. But gifts without fruit are empty. The Bible says in Matthew 7, 16, you will know them by their fruit. Gifts can be imitated. Fruit cannot. And you know what? God is not impressed with charisma without character. I ask you another question. Is power guaranteed approval? Is power guaranteed approval? No. God can use anyone, even a donkey. We see that in the Bible, Numbers 22, 28. And you know, the Bible says in Hebrews 12, 14, pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Jesus wants us to live in purity and not just move in power. So, is doing things for God the same as walking with God? Is doing things for God the same as walking with God? No. Ministry is not a substitute for intimacy. We can serve in church, you know, preach, sing, and all the other great things that we get to do in church, yet not know Jesus. In Matthew 15:15, verse 8, Jesus said, "These people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." Jesus is after obedience, not just activity. And as I was preparing this, I was honestly really challenged. And like I mentioned at the beginning, I have been conducting an audit of my own life. You know, and I've asked myself a lot of questions, like, is my life activity-based or obedience-based, you know? Or if I kind of, like, put a scale, am I doing more activity, less obedience, or how does my scale look like? Because Jesus isn't looking for performance. He's looking for disciples. So, church, are we walking with Jesus or just working for him? So what does this mean for us as believers, as disciples of Jesus Christ? Firstly, mere words or religious acts are not enough. We are to bear fruit and good fruit. I often ask myself this question. Are my actions reflecting the fruit of the Spirit? And, you know, the Holy Spirit is already in us. He lives in us. So it's for us to exercise the fruit of the Spirit. As you probably, most of you know, I'm a mother to two very energetic, strong, active boys. And most times, it's not easy. They do really push me to the wall. And I have learned a lot of strategies, you know, from my psychologists, of just how to deal with that, how to regulate myself. I shared my testimony earlier on here with our church, and motherhood for me was something very scary just because of my background. I always thought I'm not ready or I might not do a good job as a mom. And so when I had my kids, obviously, I've gone through that journey of seeking help, you know, from different areas, from the Lord, from the psychologists. And many times I do practice all those strategies, you know, that I learned from my psychologist. But beyond that, many times I find myself just pausing and asking, reminding myself, you know what? I need to remember and practice the fruit of the Spirit right now. Many days, I think almost every day, I have to pause and do that. So my boys love to fight. And they fight every day, you know, and a number of times even in a day. And so sometimes I'll just be like, you know what, I'm just going to let them figure it out. Maybe they will build some respect out of that for each other. Bad idea, because none of them taps out. So I would think, oh, you know, one will just like receive a good blow and tap out and respect the other one, maybe the younger one, probably, that's my thought. But it never happens. No one taps out. It ends very, very badly, you know, because everyone, the escalation is too much to regulate any of them or even myself. I have to physically carry one of them out of the room. And most of those days, I just pause, you know, and remind myself, you need to practice the fruit of the Spirit right now. Patience, patience. And the fruit of the Spirit, the Bible says, actually, we need to bear fruit and good fruit. And the fruit of the Spirit, we find that in the Bible, the fruit of the Spirit. Are we performing religious acts while still deep down remained untransformed and not bearing fruit? Do we find ourselves, you know, quick to gossip, to be prideful, you know, lack of patience? Remember, the Holy Spirit is in you already. Just exercise that fruit of the Spirit. Secondly, Jesus desires a real relationship and obedience, not just performance. In fact, verse 21 of the same passage in Matthew 7, it says, only those who actually do the will of the Father will enter heaven. Look, I understand sometimes, or maybe most of the times, obedience is not a very natural thing, you know, to do. But obedience, we need to remember actually that obedience is a fruit of love. It's not from fear or duty. Jesus said in John 14:15, if you love me, you will keep my commands. So as we love the Lord Jesus, as we walk with him closely, intimately, we will find it even easier to obey him. Jesus wants our hearts, not just our hands. Just like a father, our Heavenly Father wants our hearts and does not need our performance. I personally found this very challenging for many years because of my relationship with my earthly father. And Pastor Yunami shared this very well last Sunday. She spoke about our relationship with our earthly father sometimes affects our relationship with our Heavenly Father. So my dad was absent my entire life. So I thought I had to prove myself to everyone, including God. Like to be loved, to be wanted, to be accepted, I had to prove myself. So every time I approached God, I had my performance hat on. I have to perform to be accepted. But our Heavenly Father does not need our performance. He wants us to just go before him with authenticity. He wants our hearts just as we are. Matthew 7:21-23, if anything, should stir our hearts to pursue authentic faith. Not just in words or actions, but in lifestyle. This is a call to authenticity. Our outward performance has to be a reflection of our inward transformation. And this will only happen when we know Him, follow Him, and obey Him. Let us know Jesus, let us follow Jesus, and let us obey Jesus. Next question. There we go, thank you. Is it once saved, always saved? Is there such a thing as backsliding, no longer believing that Jesus is our Savior, or does that mean the person never truly believed? I will answer this question in three parts. So part one, is it once saved, always saved? No. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 to 9, we learn that salvation is a gift from God. Yeah, there it is. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. So salvation is a gift from God, received by faith through grace. It is not earned. It is also not a one-time event. It's a journey. And that's why we say it's a Christian walk. It's a Christian journey. It's a walk of faith. Philippians 2, verse 12 to 13, this is what it says. Work out, Philippians 2, 12 to 13. Yeah, there you go. Thank you. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Yeah, that's it. Okay, it's just a little bit of I think that's NIV, yeah, but that's okay. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill His good purpose. So this is what Paul says. Work out your own salvation, that first part. Work it out. So live in it. Grow in it. Work it out daily. It's active and ongoing, not a one-time event. Again, like we said, it's a walk of faith. It's a Christian walk. It's a Christian journey. Then the second part, he says, with fear and trembling. Now, this is not panic or terror. It's reverence. It's the posture of a heart that says, Lord, I want to please you. And that last part, he says, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill His good purpose. So this is not in our own strength. We cannot stay saved in our own strength. But God is at work within us. Our part is to yield to Him and watch as the Holy Spirit empowers us to navigate our walk of faith. Ezekiel 36:26-27 says, and I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit in you. I will take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart. And I will put my spirit in you so that you will follow my decrees and be careful to obey my regulations. So we are transformed by the Holy Spirit in our hearts and mind. And this transformation is what leads us to have a life of obedience, making the choice to follow Jesus every day. So salvation is active and ongoing. It's not a one-time event. We have the Holy Spirit in us, helping us every day to navigate this walk. Part two of that question is, can someone backslide? Yes. We see different biblical examples, like we see the children of Israel in the Old Testament. They worship other gods, you know. They create a golden calf, you know. And the Bible as well warns and cautions us about falling away. So in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20 to 22, if they have escaped the corruption of the world by knowing our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and are again entangled in it and are overcome, they are worse off at the end than they were at the beginning. It would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than to have known it and then turn their backs on the sacred command that was passed on them. Of them, the proverbs are true. A dog returns to its vomit, and a sow that is washed returns to her wallowing in the mud. So backsliding doesn't happen overnight. It's a slow drift. You know, you start neglecting prayer, you start compromising values, you start embracing sin, and slowly by slowly it becomes normal. And for some people, they completely isolate. Others still stay in community. I remember, as I shared my testimony before, when I stepped away from Jesus when I was in university, I still stayed in church. So you would still see me on Sunday coming to church, but my heart was far from Jesus. You know, there is hope. It is not the end. God never gives up on his children. And 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us. And just like the prodigal son, anyone who turns back from God is welcome with grace when they come back. And I can share that from my own personal experience. You know, that Sunday morning when I went to church, and they were doing Holy Communion, and the pastor said, if you've turned away from the Lord and you want to come back before we partake in this Holy Communion, just make this prayer. And I felt like I never left, you know. I just felt the warm embrace of the Lord Jesus and the warm welcome and the grace. It's like I never left, and I was right back home where I belong. How do we stop backsliding in our lives? Matthew 13, 1-8 is where Jesus teaches about the parable of the sower. And Jesus describes four types of soil representing different heart conditions in response to the word of God. We have to cultivate our hearts. We need to be the good soil. Our hearts need to be in a good place, yeah? The good soil that we receive the word of the Lord and it's not taken away by different challenges, different storms that we go through in life. Secondly, we need to guard our hearts. Proverbs 4:23 says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. And when we talk about guarding our heart, sometimes it's just from like bitterness. You know, things that we hold on and carry, maybe from people that have hurt us. So just always repenting and asking the Lord to search our hearts and to know us and to expose of anything, you know, that is deeply rooted and maybe we're not aware of it, that the Lord will expose it all. When I went away from the Lord again, as I shared before, I noticed that I had a lot of anger and bitterness from my dad, who was never present in my own life, and partly my mom and God as well. And I had been carrying all this for years and years, and eventually, you know, it just couldn't take it anymore. And I went away from Jesus just out of that bitterness that I held on for years and years. Stay accountable. Be part of a small group. Iron sharpens iron. Allow other believers to challenge and support you. And here in our church, we have connect groups. Be part of a connect. Those are people that will do life with you. And can I just ask, is anyone not part of a connect group? Please put your hand up. if you're not part of a connect group. And the leaders will look around. Just put your hand up. Yeah, be brave. Thank you. I'll talk to you after this. We all need to be part of a connect group. It's very important, yeah? Those are the people that will support you, challenge you, and keep you accountable. This journey is not a, you don't do it by yourself. It's not a solo journey. You need people around you. You need to be surrounded. The last part of that question was the person truly saved? Yes and no. Some truly believed, some did not. Only God knows the heart of a person. God doesn't force anyone to stay saved. Love must be freely chosen, and so must faithfulness. And so as I finish, church, I just want to ask us two questions. As a believer who's experienced a genuine, transformative salvation, and the Holy Spirit continues to work in my life, in your life, are you becoming more like Christ every day? Question number two. Are you producing good fruit? Fruit is evidence of growth. You're either growing or drifting. And with our eyes closed, salvation is not just a moment. Eyes closed, heads bowed down, please. Salvation is a relationship. And maybe you've drifted. Maybe you've grown cold. Maybe you've been living with one foot in, one foot out. God has not given up on you. Maybe you never truly surrendered your life to Jesus. Or this is your very first time making the decision to follow Jesus. God wants you home. He loves you. And so if we can all repeat this prayer for anyone who, if this is your situation and you want to make that prayer, you want to come back to the Lord, or you want to commit to follow the Lord Jesus, please let's all repeat this prayer after me. Heavenly Father, I come to you in the mighty name of Jesus. I confess that I'm a sinner and I need your forgiveness. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he died on the cross for my sins, and he rose again. Lord Jesus, I repent of my sins, and I ask you to wash me clean with your blood. Empower me to live for you, to walk in your truth, and to serve you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Lord, I want to thank you so much this morning for your people. I thank you, God, and I pray that, Lord, you will help us, oh Lord. Help us, Lord, to live lives that bear fruit, good fruit. Help us, oh God, to have an intimate relationship with you, Lord Jesus. May our lives be about obeying you and not just working for you. I pray that, God, you will walk with us and you will help us to realize that Jesus Christ, you are the answer. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen. If you need prayer, please feel free to come at the front, and the leaders and Pastor Stephen will pray with you as they...